So good to be back with you this evening as we come to worship God in spirit and in truth. I want us to begin by turning to the book of Judges, chapter 21. Judges chapter 21 and verse 25. Now this is the end of the book of Judges. And it's really sad as we look at this, because if you read about the time of Judges, it was a cycle. They did wrong. They pleaded to God. God gave a judge. They got back online. Soon as the judge was gone, they once again did wrong once again. But the book of Judges closes this way. The book of Judges now, 21 and verse 25. In those days, there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. You know, when I think about that statement, it kind of reminds me of 2023. It seems like everybody seemingly does what's right in their own eyes. You know, we have to make judgments. We have to make decisions. We have to make choices in our life. But it's amazing that when we make those choices, we fail to pay attention to God. Even religious people who mean well fail to pay attention to God. Give you an illustration. The very first place I preached, quote, in a full-time capacity was in Pine City, Minnesota. Now, I don't know how much you know about Minnesota, but Pine City was between Minneapolis and Duluth. It was about a halfway distance on I-35. So you go from I-35 from Minneapolis all the way to Duluth. And in between, about 60 miles from the Twin Cities, about 70 miles from Duluth, there stood a little small community, Pine City. That was the first place I got to work with a very good preacher, older preacher, Albert Wanis. Now, that being said, good family moved into the area. They moved from a place that had many congregations, and he worked for Sandstone Prison, which was a federal prison system, about 30 miles from Pine City. Well, one of the things he failed to do when him and his wife made the decision to make the change, and making the change made an increase in pay, of course. But they failed to consider where they were going to worship. So they got to the Sandstone area, and I got a call from them, and they gave me the story. And they said, give us the closest congregation. And I chuckled. I said, you mean the closest congregation that's trying to do what the Bible teaches? Absolutely, that's what we want. I said, well, it's Pine City. How far is Pine City? Well, it's about 33 miles from where they were at, from the Sandstone area. Now you think, you know, 33 miles, not bad when the weather's nice, when it's warm outside. But in the wintertime, when it gets cold, icy, and 20 below zero actual temperature, it's not very nice. Now, I'd like to, the good point of this story, they came regularly to Pine City. They became members of Pine City. And I'm glad they had enough faith to do so, because it would have been very easy after a few months to just go ahead and say, oh, no, I'm not doing that. Someone else says, well, just start your own congregation. Okay, nothing wrong with starting a congregation. You ever try starting a congregation? You ever try starting with two, three, four people? It can be done. But you best be super strong spiritually. You talk about discouragement. There's discouragement. And all I'm trying to say is, so many times we make decisions. And remember, with every decision you make, there's always a consequence. We make decisions with no regard to what perhaps God's word has to say. I hope that's not the case for you. I try that's not to be the case for me. But let's look at that. Our lesson tonight is found in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14. If you turn in the New Testament to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 13, what happens there is he's rebuking the brethren there because they hadn't grown like they should have grown. They were still babies. They still needed the milk of the word and not the meat. But we get to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, and the New King James Version says, but solid food, and that's the teachings of righteousness, back to verse 13. But solid food belonged to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern what? Both good and evil. So to show one way that you are mature in the faith is you have your senses exercised. Exercised by what? By God's teaching. That when you make a decision, it's based upon God's teaching to determine what's good or evil. Isn't that what it's teaching us there? And they couldn't do that. Now, if you go to another version, I've got the English Standard Version. It says, but solid food is for the mature, for those who have their power of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. That's very important. It's a lesson I need to apply in my life on a daily basis. It's a lesson that you need to apply in your life on a daily basis. That is that I'm trained by constant practice to make the right decision. Because if I don't make the right decision, bad things usually happen. You remember after the time of Judges? Kind of difficult, was it not? Because everybody did what's right in their own sight. They didn't go back to the pattern. Now that we have this before us, Hebrews 5:14, let's take that passage, let's take the principle of that passage to discern between good and evil and see some applications that we can make from that. Let's talk about one application, and that's who we associate with. Turn with me, if you will, to Proverbs 27. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 17. It's a beautiful passage here. It tells us here in Proverbs 27 and verse 17, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. It's talking about who we associate with. As iron sharpens iron. I mean, if you want to soar like an eagle, some preacher said, if you want to soar like an eagle, you can't hang around the turkeys. And that's what happened. Now, people get offended by that. Well, you think you're better than... No, I don't think I'm better than anybody. But God's given me a brain to make choices. And the choices I make affect my future choices and affect my conduct. Give you an illustration before we get into specifics about friendships. I may have told you, but it's worth telling again if I did. My memory sometimes fails me. But we had a young teenage sister in Minnesota, obeyed the gospel, very zealous for the Lord, very zealous. Well, going to high school, she met some other friends who were involved in the smoking of pot. And that was not a good thing, and her mom was concerned about that. And her mom wanted me to come talk to her. By the way, there's a side lesson there. I learned never to try to talk to someone from behind a closed door. She wouldn't open up her door for me, so we were talking between the door. I'll never do that again because I couldn't observe her actions as I was talking to her. She's a very sweet young lady who meant well. And I was trying to emphasize to her that her choice of friends is not a good choice. It's not that she couldn't talk to those people, but that she shouldn't be hanging out with those people. And I'll never forget what she told me. But Chuck, I can teach them. Who wants to know the rest of that story? The rest of that story is they taught her. She went off course because of their... Now, am I saying you should never teach someone who smokes pot? Absolutely. Teach someone who smokes whatever. But you shouldn't develop a close friendship to those who are doing things that are not good. Did you know if you went into a store with somebody and you're with that person and they steal something? Well, it used to be like that. I don't know what happens today. But it used to be that if they steal something and you were with them, you got in trouble too. That's how it used to be. And what you didn't, if you didn't go into a store with someone you knew who would steal things, you stayed away from them. It's not that you're better than them. You watch your associate. It's called common sense, people. It's called common sense. God's word has a lot of common sense for us. Let's look at some examples that we choose the right friends. Turn with me, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 1. Discern what's good or evil. Proverbs chapter 1. As the proverb writer begins here, he warns the young man as to who he should choose to associate with. In verse 10, My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, and the whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, look at verse 15. My son, do not walk in the way of them. Keep your foot from their path. Okay, do you see how this ties together with Hebrews chapter 5? They're able to discern? If you're around people who are doing things like that, what's he telling him? Get away from that. Now, one of the problems we had in the Chicagoland area are gangs. Gangs are a big influence in the Chicago area. You have to warn young people to stay away from gangs. Is their soul as precious as my soul? Absolutely, but you don't want to practice what they're practicing. If they want to come out of that, amen, teach them. Let them, they might become the best Christian that ever walked the face of the earth. But you don't go participate with them. And you don't be naive enough to think you're going to go with that group and change that group. That's what God is warning here, is it not? Don't go into that situation. Think. Reason by God's word. Let's go to another illustration. Proverbs 22. Well, Chuck, you do that. You just think you're going to only pick a few people? No, you're going to be careful who you pick as friends. You're going to be careful who you're close to. Now, this is different than having to work with someone that you might not get along with because you have to make a living. But those who I choose to associate with should help build me up, not tear me down. And in Proverbs chapter 22, verses 22 through 25, it goes on to state this. In Proverbs 24 and 25, make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man, do not go. Why is that? Lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your souls. You ever know somebody that's always angry? Always angry. That they can't even discuss with you without being angry. You keep on hanging around a person like that, guess what? They perhaps might rub off on you. What's God saying? Is he saying you're better than them? No, he's not saying that. We're not talking about who's better, who's less. We're talking about choices on whom I want to associate with. If I'm more comfortable with the ways of the world than I am with the family of God, a little red light ought to be flashing in my head that something is wrong. Now, do I have friends in the world? Absolutely. But I make it a point not to be involved in practices that they do. Do I have some friends over the years that haven't become Christians? Absolutely. Do I go with them if they're going to happy hour? No, I do not go with them. I don't anticipate to go into places that is going to distract me from being an example. If they want to come visit me, can they come visit me? At any time. But they're not going to do like one lady did years ago. She'd bring her alcohol with her everywhere she went. Now, if someone came to my house, they wanted to bring their alcohol with them, I would say, you come in, but you leave your alcohol in the car. That's not coming in. Does that make me better? No, I'm not saying. It makes me to make a decision based upon my understanding of God's will. Let's go to another one. And Proverbs chapter 26. In Proverbs 26, in verse 17, he who passes by and meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a dog by the ears. What's going to happen if you take a dog by the ears? Not going to be a good thing, is it? You better not let go. And by the way, if you do take a dog by the ears, don't make it a pit bull. Because if they grab on, they're not going to let go. And by the way, there's some good pit bulls. I'm not anti-pit bull. But I think the Lord has a little bit of humor here for us. In other words, you take a dog by the ears, you've put yourself in a dilemma. And it says, now, the one who meddles in other people's business, it's like taking a dog by the ears. You're putting yourself in a situation you don't belong. Do people do that? You know what? There's enough drama in all of our lives. I don't have to take on added drama. How about you? Again, we need to make decisions. When we take on that added drama, which gives us more drama in our lives, and then we complain about our drama, we created that. Well, Chuck, that sounds to be you're awfully hard-hearted. I'm not trying to be hard-hearted. But guess what? I can't solve the problems of society. I never could and never will. And I've got a good family, but I got enough to deal with on my plate right now. I don't need to be in everybody's business. Now, if you want me to pray with you, absolutely. Do you want me to get in your family affairs? Absolutely not. As some would say, not my pay grade. Absolutely not. Because there's a no-win situation. I'll give you a quick illustration on that. I spend extra time because this is so important. Had a family from a different congregation years ago. Man and wife, they're having marital problems. They call me up, good friends of mine. Chuck, we want to talk to you. First thing I told them, I'm not a marriage counselor. I said, I am not skilled in being a marriage counselor. That what advice I give you is going to be based on my understanding of what the scriptures say. So if you're looking for a professional help, you've came to the wrong person. I'm not that person. Oh, no, no, we want to talk to you. We trust you. Had four studies with them. Four studies. Things went haywire. To such that the woman's dad, who lived in a different state, called me up and he was irate. I want to know what you told my daughter. Great. Kind of taking the dog by the ears. I said, no, I can't do that. I can't tell you what I talked to you. That was private. Well, she's my daughter. No, I can't tell you. Can't tell you that. And he got mad at me. And she got mad at me. And her husband got mad at me. And for 3 years, neither one of them would talk to me. But I created that problem. I should have said no to begin with. Should have said no to begin with. You get my point? Be careful about meddling in a quarrel that's not yours. Now, oftentimes, I say no. I had another situation. I won't go into the specifics. Chuck, we'd like to get no. I believe in the autonomy of the church. I'm going to work with my group. My prayers are with you. I wish you the best. I'm going on. Think about that. Not just for me as a preacher, but as you as a person. You don't have enough time to take on everybody's problems, which will inevitably become your problems. Think about that. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. We have recorded for us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, passage we all know. We teach this to our young people all the time. But it's interesting because it's not just to young people. There's nowhere that it talks about young people there. You can't find the word young people. Now, it's for young people and middle-aged people and older people. It's for all people. What does it say? Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. You choose your company. Well, yeah, they're good, but they do have this problem. Problem with what? Well, they snort cocaine. Well, that's a problem, my friend. That's a problem. Can that person be taught the truth? Absolutely. But you keep on keeping that type of company, as my mom said, you're going to get burned. You're going to get burned. But, you know, we ignore that, don't we? We ignore Hebrews 5, able to discern what's good or bad, and just say, well, I'm just such a kind and loving person. No, maybe you're not. Maybe you're not thinking. Maybe you should have said no. Maybe you should have said, until you change your situations, I really can't associate with you that much. Oh, that's hard. Is it? What's God saying here? And that's not just young people. That's all ages. I live in a senior community. Yes, I'm a senior citizen, whether I like it or not. I don't involve myself in a lot of the things of the senior community. Very little. I keep on telling my wife, we want to stay under the radar. Stay under the radar. They have monthly meetings I don't go to. They have other things I don't go to. Because you know what? The less I know, the better off I am. And the few times some did say something, I didn't want to hear it. Too much information. Don't tell me anymore. Do I think I'm better than them? No. I just got to be careful. Because one of the things that is like in the senior community, like all communities, is alcohol. Like alcohol. I don't like alcohol. I don't think you should drink alcohol. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not going to talk to my neighbors. But if they're going to have a party, what do you think they're going to have at the party? Alcohol. Well, can't you go and not drink alcohol? Oh, I could. But why would I put myself in that situation? Why would I do that? Now, I'm not puffing myself up. I'm just saying you have to make decisions on who you're going to associate with. Are they going to build you up? Are they going to tear you down? Are they going to make more problems? So if you don't pay attention to any of this and you want to be a friend to everybody, then don't come crying to me on the mess your life is. Because brethren, you created it. Let's go on to the positive. In Proverbs chapter 13, Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20. Proverbs 13, 20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of few fools will be destroyed. You don't need a commentary to figure that one out, do you? That's pretty simple. Walk with wise people. Walk with people who love the Lord. Walk with people who make the Lord's pattern their choice for making choices. One of the things I've enjoyed, and there's many preachers still older than me, is to what I say, pick the brain of older preachers. Because there's a lot of wisdom there. It's good to be around people like that. I'm grateful you're allowing me to preach. You know, some congregation, you're in your 60s, you're way too old. I'm glad you don't feel like that. Now, at least you don't today. Maybe next month. Well, that's a different story. That's why I go month by month. But the point is this. It's your choice. It's your choice who you associate with. Now, not in the work field. You know, if you've got a 9-to-5 job and you've got to be at that job to make your money, that you don't have a choice about. And if it's so bad there, then you've got to look for a new job. But once you're away from that job, if I'm not understanding correctly, don't you have a choice who you associate with once you leave that job? Then associate those who are going to help you be built up and not be torn down. In Psalms 119, 163. Psalms 119. Oh, by the way, I'm not going to try to scare you. This is one of my longer lessons, but here's how I concluded I can do that tonight. You didn't let me preach last week. Last week, we had a great preacher. But I was sitting in the audience. I'm all pent up. I didn't get to speak. So tonight, I get to get a little extra time. And Psalms 119, verse 63, it states this. Again, be careful. I am a companion of all who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. You know, it's interesting. Around some areas, this congregation is viewed as a very conservative congregation. That's good. That's a good thing. I wouldn't want to be viewed as a non-conservative congregation. Some would even go to say, we're too conservative. Well, we got our individual convictions. But would you rather be close to a conservative congregation? Are those that are opening the gate a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more? I'll choose the conservative. How about you? Not that I'm going to agree with you on everything, but that's the way to be. be like that. We want a companion of those who fear God and try to do that which is right. Let's go to another illustration. In Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3. You know, my grandchildren, I love them dearly. Nothing beats grandchildren. Well, yeah, children are important. My kids come out and aggravate me sometimes. But when you have grandchildren, you really hit the pinnacle. And my grandchildren, I bring that up to say this. My grandchildren, at least some of them, like participating in plays. They're with a homeschooling group that portray plays. And that's good at their ages now, but like we've talked to them, once they get out of high school, they've got a dilemma. Because most plays out of high school are not going to be appropriate to be a part of. Now, I can't tell them what to do, but you know what I'm talking about. And so it's going to be a difficult thing for them if they want to continue in that course. And if they do, I think they're going to be very restricted in what plays they want to be a part of. Now, in high school, it's a different thing because they're very tame and calm plays. Some of them, to me, are boring, but that's neither here nor there. But they do a good job. I surely couldn't have done that. I said that to say this. As they get older, they're going to have to make some different decisions. They're going to have to look for some different friends because the friends they would have in that area might be taking a wrong course in the way of life. We find recorded in Philippians chapter 3 in verse 17. It states this very clearly as to what Paul states. And by the way, before I read this passage, Paul just doesn't understand how rough we have it in 2023. Let me tell you this. I suggest to you it was rougher in the first century. It was rougher what those people were going through with paganism. And what does Paul state in Philippians 3:17? Brethren, join in following my example. Following what? My example. Whose example? Paul's example. And note those who walk as you have us for a pattern. Guess who I don't have as a pattern? Movie stars. Guess who I don't have as a pattern? Most athletes. Guess who I have for a pattern? Those who I read in here and those who I look at in the audience who are trying to live righteous life. Those are the patterns for us. Again, who's your friends? Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. Here we have recorded as we look at the Hebrew writer in verse 6, chapter 6 and verse 12, it tells us this. It goes on and says, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You know, we have some brethren here who are extremely sickly. And yet when they can get out, I see them here. That impresses me. That impresses me that I know what they're going, I don't know what they're going through, but I know that they have serious medical illnesses and they're still here. That's impressive. I've had brethren who stood for the truth as their family went astray. Sad situation, but that impresses me. For those who stood for the truth. Because it's easy to say what you would do, but the picture becomes clear when you see people doing the very thing that you talk about. Thank goodness I have brethren as examples who stood for the truth and stand for the truth, who I have examples to follow after. As I've said, as I look back at my life, there's been so many people in and out of the body of Christ, mostly in, that has touched my life in a way that has made my life better. None of us are a product unto ourselves. So who are you going to choose to follow? Those who are righteous or those who are ungodly? We need to be able to discern religious teachings. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. How do you know whether or not I'm teaching the truth? Oh, it sounds good. Well, just because it sounds good doesn't make it the truth. Doesn't make it the truth. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith and having been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Look at verse 8. Beware, lest any one of you cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Now, you know what blows my mind at verse 8? Who's teaching at this time? An apostle. An apostle of our Lord. An inspired apostle of our Lord. Well, if they had to be concerned when there was an inspired apostle teaching them, how much more do you think we should be concerned in 2023? You get my point? Doesn't matter if it sounds good. False teaching usually does sound good. That's why you have to know the distinction between truth and false. Well, we know it's a true teaching because he calls himself a Church of Christ preacher. That means absolutely nothing. That means nothing. Do you know why? I can't go to any drugstore or any store and get a shot of immunity against error. It's not there. The only immunity I have against error is right here. Right here. Some people are false teachers because, quite frankly, they choose to be false teachers. Some teachers are false teachers because they've been deceived and they know nothing better but being a false teacher. And some false teachers that creep up in the church, they do so secretly to destroy the church with their false teachings. So you best be on your guard with whatever anybody teaches to make sure it's in harmony with the will of God. Let's look at some illustrations. In Acts chapter 17, am I trying to deceive you? Absolutely not. But you know what? Check out what I say. And by the way, if you think I have misused the scripture, please bring it to my attention. The only thing I say that if you do bring it to my attention, don't bring it to me this way. Well, I feel what you said was wrong. I'm not concerned what you feel. You say, that's rude. No, it's not. I'm not concerned. People feel a lot of things, and their feelings are wrong. Sometimes our feelings are based upon tradition, are they not? So if you think I've said something wrong, don't start it out and say, I feel you said something. No, you better have some scriptures to back up why you think I'm wrong. And if I'm wrong, those scriptures you back up better not be taken out of their context. Could I go wrong? Absolutely. And I'm concerned about that day by day when I study God's word. And you need to be like the Bereans in Acts chapter 17, verse 11. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, that they received the word of God with all readiness, and they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether those things were so. You search the word of God. I don't want anybody ever to say, well, we need to do this because that's what Chuck said. Chuck is nothing. If any man speak, 1 Peter 4:11, let him speak as an oracle of God. You do it because God said it. You have to examine what everybody says. Can we have an affection one for another? Absolutely. But don't let that affection be so blinded that you don't examine to see what the truth is. And that does happen sometimes, brethren. We've got to be careful. What's Hebrews 5? We need to discern what's right or wrong, what's good or bad. How do we discern? Not by feelings, but by God's word. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, 14 and 15. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. We have recorded for us here Paul talking about to those brethren at Ephesus. And remember in Acts chapter 20, didn't he warn the elders of Ephesus that even some of their own selves would be turning away from the truth? And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by trickery of men and cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things unto him who is the head. Let me give you an illustration. Many years ago, I was holding a meeting in Tallahassee, Florida, It just so happened that very week, Billy Graham was holding a revival in Tallahassee, Florida. Who do you think got more attendance? Well, we know. Wasn't me. It was Billy Graham. And for moral issues, he does pretty good on moral issues. But he's so crafty. Now, I know he's gone, and he shouldn't talk about someone who's deceased, but let me just give you an illustration. He would close his campaign each night to an audience of all different faiths, and he would often close it this way. Choose a Bible-believing church. Now, do you think all those faiths thought they were a Bible-believing church? Guess what? He rattled no boat. Because everybody said, well, he's talking about me. Now, here's what I think he should say. Choose a church that's abiding in the doctrine of Christ, 2 John 9, and here's the doctrine of Christ. You have to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Ho-ho, how well do you think that would have gone? How do you think that would have set with the audience? Wouldn't have set too well, would it? Now, don't misunderstand. I'll say one thing about his life. He lived above the fray. I mean, morally speaking, he lived above the fray. It's not some of those other public guys who were scoundrels and found out later on that they were scoundrels. You're not going to find that about his moral life. But deceptive with the scriptures? Absolutely. No doubt about it. Choose a Bible-believing church. I could go into any church tonight and say that, and what would they say? Great job, preacher! Now what if I said, we got to follow the doctrine of Christ. We can't have the carnival for the church. We can't have the bake sale for the church. Why is that, preacher? And we show them how we collection on the first day of the week. You get my point? False teachers are very cautious on how they do it to make everybody feel everything's okay. One more passage along that lines. We're going to skip some because I'm looking at the time. We're running out quickly. And 2 Peter chapter 2. In 2 Peter chapter 2, look at the warning that's given us here, verses 1 through 3. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will who will secretly bring in destructive hearsays, even denying the Lord who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destructions. And look at the sad thing about verse 2. And many will follow the destructive ways, because whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. You know, I pray that the Lord continues to bless the church, but here's a warning. If the Lord continues to bless this church and we keep on moving forward, we've got to watch out for this. Because what Satan's going to want to do is what? Tear it down. And sometimes he brings up secretly, behind the scenes, how sad that is. We're not going to do that last passage because we want to move on, so we're going to move on to the next. You see how quickly I can move through this lesson? Went through all those passages just like that. I had one sister in Illinois get so upset with me. Chuck, you can't do that. I said, okay, you can give me another 40 minutes. Oh, yeah, you can do that. Okay, let's go on. Isaiah chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. We're all familiar with this. Isaiah chapter 5. Verses 20, and this is today. This is 2023. I'm sorry. I know it's in Isaiah's time, but boy, it fits today. Woe unto those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. 2023. Now, I know it was back then, but it's 2023. Let me ask you this question. Does God love everybody? And the answer is yes. Every single human being on this earth, God has a love for. Jesus died for who? For everybody. I think you'd agree. Now, let me ask you this question. Will everybody be saved? And the answer is no. Talks about the narrow and straight. I got a lesson coming up about the narrow and straight. Not everybody will be saved. Why did God cease to love them? No, God still loves them. They just what? They put evil for good and good for evil. Now, we can talk about many issues. But I'm going to the realm of the sexual issue of transgender and gay and such like. God loves their souls. Understand. And if there's somebody of that persuasion here tonight, I'd be happy to study with you. But he does not, nor will he ever, condone your conduct. Your conduct will always be inappropriate. Now, our religious world has taken a back step to that. And under the guise of love, they just embrace everything, leading hundreds of thousands of people going to condemnation because they've been deceived by some religious teacher with a tie or a turned around collar who spoke where God has not spoken, calling evil good and good evil. We talked about this morning on marriage. That's not a hard topic to understand if you use the scriptures. As someone would say, God's not changed his mind. He's not given us a new pattern. One man, one woman, one life, one exception. That's the principle. And it's really that simple. It becomes difficult when we allow our emotions to take over. It becomes difficult as we change. Notice what it said in Hebrews chapter 5. Having their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, our senses are exercised not by what society says, not by what Congress passes or not passes. Our senses are exercised by this word right here. I could go on other issues. How about abortion? To me, that's a non-issue. If the child is conceived and it's alive, its conception has happened, that shouldn't be an alternative to avoid a pregnancy. Well, you don't understand, Chuck. Maybe I don't understand a lot of things, but I do understand the taking of a life. How about you? My mom had a hard go of it as I was a small boy. She had a hard go of it before I was born. I'm glad she didn't decide to have an abortion, or I wouldn't be here today. That would have been the easier way at that time, but it wasn't the right way. She was divorced because her husband was a scoundrel. I didn't learn that from her. I learned that after I became an adult. I'm super impressed with my mom. She never spoke anything about him. But she knew what was right, and she raised her kids with godly principles. What I'm trying to say is God clearly teaches a conduct that should be followed within this word. Now, I wish there would be some more specifics that there's not, but that's where common sense comes into play. And there's so many areas we could touch. You might want to write down these passages. I can't have time to go into them. Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 32. 1 Thessalonians 4, talking about sexual immorality, 1 through 8. And Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, which talks about that how we are to live righteously and godly in this present world. In other words, our purpose of life is to glorify our Creator. Do we discern what's right or wrong? 2023 doesn't make the decision for me. Higher education does not make the decision for me. Panels of people do not make the decision for me. Politicians do not make the decision for me. The decisions for me are based as I reason from God's Word. What is right and what is wrong. Isn't that so? Or do we simply use this book when we want to use it at our convenience? Able to discern both good and bad, having their senses exercised, something we have to work on. You know why? We make choices every day of our life. I close with this, and I use this passage many times. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world. Boy, that's hard, but we can choose not to be conformed. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. All goes back to this. You're going to make decisions whether you know this book or not. It's inevitable. If you live like life, you'll make decisions. What you want to do is make good decisions. And you do that by knowing what God's Word has to say. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, we didn't focus on that topic, but very simply, and I'm not trying to rush through this, but you need the blood of Christ. What gets me to heaven is the blood of Jesus Christ. To have the blood of Christ, I've got to do it God's way. And that is to repent and be baptized for the remission of my sins and water baptism. And when I'm buried with him in baptism, Romans chapter 6, that dead man in sin, I'm raised to walk in newness of life. But I still need the blood of Christ after I've been baptized. And that's why in 1 John chapter 1, I walk in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ will cover me from all my sins. Understand this. I get to have heaven not because I'm so great. I get to have heaven because of the blood of Jesus Christ. What I need to be concerned about, am I maintaining my contact with the blood of Jesus Christ? Am I making those decisions that are pleasing to him as we stand and as we sing?
Position now is here, the sympathizing.